Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am wonderful. If only there was a burlesque house near me so I can get a second job.
There's layers to that. There's some onions. I was going to say, you are in Orlando. There are certainly burlesque shows going on in Orlando and Tampa, for that matter.
That's true.
There's plenty of, and I mean, that would hire you. I'm fairly positive that there's male employment available in the sexy dancing in Orlando, in Central Florida in general.
That's true, but I would be more the back of house kind of stuff.
Hey, come on. Everyone needs, like, role players are important, Matt. You know, not everyone's going to be the star. You can be, you can serve your, like, play your position. That's all you got to do. You know your class. Hey, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for $2 a month. Gain access to all of our bonus content. I encourage you guys to check it out. Thanks to everyone who supports us. You can also help us by going to iTunes or wherever you listen to us, whatever podcatcher you use. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, like, whatever method they use. Also tell your friends, all that stuff. Greatly appreciate it. Helps us find new listeners. We like that. On to this week's episode. It is Bart After Dark, episode 4F06, originally aired November 24th, 1996, written by Richard Apple, directed by Dominic Pulcino. Interesting fact about Dominic Pulcino, his brother currently directs Simpsons episodes.
So what you're saying is greatness runs in the family.
I mean, I don't know. Dominic himself is also, he's directed Simpsons, King of the Hill, Family Guy, and... there's a fourth one, the fourth show. Why can I not remember it now? Why do I have the dumbs? Rick and Morty. He's done all four of those animated programs. Finished 57th in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 8.5, approximately 8.2 million viewing households. Fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files, Melrose Place, and, can you guess what it is, Matt?
Football.
Beverly Hills 90210.
It's not. Oh, shucks.
It's exactly what you expect. The Couch Gag is a parody of the Sgt. Pepper's, the Beatles Sgt. Pepper album cover. It's actually really good.
It's very detailed.
Yeah, it was on air a little bit longer, so you could just actually see all the stuff they actually put in there, because they do a pretty thorough job, actually.
Well, that's why you had VCRs back then. You hit pause, and if the little track lines didn't completely screw you, then you might be able to actually see something.
It's true. We have the technology now, so you can pause it and look at it now. But at the time, you had to resort to the technology at the time, which was okay, better than nothing.
It was lacking.
Yeah, it got better. The episode starts with the kids watching Itchy and Scratchy, which Homer ignores the V-chip, did it actually turn off the television? Is that what V-chips did?
Yes. Basically, if the V-chip was set to like a certain content level, so for example, if it was set, most I think were designed to not allow TVMA rated stuff back when the TV ratings first came out. So you could set it so that the TV would just not tune into a program that was, you know, related to that. But older TVs didn't support it, and it never really got a lot of traction. I don't even think they're in TVs anymore.
I don't know. I want to say that I saw when I was messing around with the settings on my television, which is 5 years old now, probably, it had some kind of content setting in there.
Huh. Interesting. Maybe it's still there. Everyone just ignores it.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's more close. I mean, I don't have children, so I don't really have to worry about it. We get a news report breaks into the cartoon with an oil tanker run aground on, is that officially the name of the beach, is Baby Seal Beach?
That's what Kent Brockman calls it.
Okay, all right. Then it's Baby Seal Beach. Of course, this is clear parody of the Exxon Valdez crash, with the sea captain playing the role of the captain of the Exxon Valdez, with an oil spill everywhere, and celebrities come to pitch in to clean up the mess. They are actually given preferential treatment. In cleaning up the mess, they get the cute animals, of course.
Well, of course. I mean, celebrities need that boost of PR.
They do. Lisa, of course, she is the bleeding heart. She wants to help the animals, and Mars isn't so sure about that.
We'd be doing our part for the environment. Plus, we get to clean up all those cute animals. Honey, we don't need to drive 400 miles to clean animals. You can stay right here and give the dog a bath. Or trim the cat's nails.
Oh, Mom, please. You can make this my birthday and Christmas presents.
You've already used up your birthday and Christmas presents on that peach tree we got you. And you hardly ever play with that anymore.
Yes, I do. Sure I do. Look.
Go.
I really,
what a great song. I sing that song all the time to myself.
I really like Lisa, her little peach tree song. So Marge and Lisa pack up to go to wherever Baby Seal Beach is with, and then they decide to take Maggie as Marge gives Homer advice what to do while she's gone.
Now, the cat needs his medication every morning, and the furnace has been giving off a lot of carbon monoxide, so keep the window open.
Cat in the furnace.
You know, I think I'll take Maggie with us. And if anything happens, just use your best judgment. Just do what I would do. Woohoo!
A whole week of just father and son. See you at dinner.
What time?
You know, I don't know.
Shall we say 10?
All right, just wake me up.
Yep, I'm sure Homer has a bedtime much like mine. It's like 8 o'clock, it's time to start getting ready for bed.
Oh, I know. I like the Bart Homer, like, they're alone and they are perfectly happy being filthy pigs. Like, they don't care. They don't care about, like, keeping up with anything. You know, we cut to them eating dinner and they are at the dinner table with the television on the table.
Yes, they brought it in from the living room. And that's back when TVs were heavy, so that was more difficult.
Their television isn't that big, is it?
I don't think so. It's probably in the neighborhood of 25, 27 inches, so it probably still weighed a good amount. But they also brought, like, the rabbit ears and everything. It's just funny.
And they're, I believe, eating TV dinners, of course.
Well, yeah, you can't have them to actually cook. I mean, cooking's for losers.
Cooking is not for losers. Cooking is an excellent way to, like, make feel good and to, like, exercise a skill that is actually very useful in life. Thank you very much.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I have time for it.
Well, that's true. Most of the rest of us don't have time for that.
I do it every day.
I have Mass Effect to play. Thank you.
Hey, so do I. All right. you can make time. You got to make time. Matt, sleep less. I think that's what I'm, that's the answer. That's just don't sleep.
I need more sleep, not less.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say. All the animals, once Marge and Lisa get to the beach, are reserved for the celebrities. They don't get to clean anything. Are those birds in Rainier Wolfcastle's bag alive?
I don't know. They don't seem to move a whole lot.
They're not moving. I'm just wondering if, like, if you open that bag, they just kind of crawl out and go fly away, or if they're really dead. I don't want them to be dead.
Well, let's hope not.
But Homer and Bart have literally filled the house full of garbage. They fall asleep on the floor. And I think Bart has just enough shame to want to get outside.
Well, he says he needs a little bit of fresh air.
I mean, they're literally, they make garbage angels. So yes, fresh air probably would be good. They get to, Bart goes to the park and to find Milhouse there with Nelson. And Milhouse is flying his little remote control airplane. And I had to pull this little clip because I love it.
Milhouse, this is boring. Make it crash or something.
Perfectly level flying is the supreme challenge of the scale model pilot.
Give me that!
Hey!
There's a short sequence where the airplane goes crazy because Nelson, of course, doesn't know how to fly it, and it nearly kills Mr. Burns. Smithers takes a bullet for him.
Yes, with his awesome haircut.
Smithers' haircut is pretty tight, so it probably would deflect bullets and or airplanes. Airplane ends up crashing in what they call is a haunted house. I don't know. This episode reminds me of Lemon of Troy.
It kind of does, yeah. Where it starts out with the kids and they end up getting in trouble and the parents have to come and get involved.
And it kind of is a world building episode and kind of gives you a little bit more information about the rest of Springfield, about the, like, all the little incidental things in the town, makes the town feel like a real place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If this episode was taking place today, do you think Milhouse would have a drone instead of an airplane?
In these days, yes, I believe. So they're much easier to fly than remote control airplanes. Remote control airplanes are hard to fly. Drones are much easier.
Remote control airplanes are actual. I mean, are they? They use the same, like, they're relying on the same physics as normal airplanes, right?
Yes, exactly. So you have to keep going. You can't go too slow. You can't go too fast. You can't pitch up too high. I mean, it's hard. It is. If people who fly those things are literally just one tiny little step down from being an actual pilot.
I'm fairly certain if you're trying to get your pilot's license, you can't just go, well, I piloted a remote control airplane.
No, but I feel like what I'm saying is you have to know a lot of the same things that a pilot does in order to fly a remote control plane.
How many remote control airplanes do you have in your house, Matt?
Zero. I that involves going outdoors, and in Florida, that's never a good hobby that involves going outdoors.
It's nice outside.
Not anymore. It's 87 degrees today.
I will happily trade with you.
No, I'm still good, but I don't want to go outside in either temperature variation.
Okay. So Bart goes into the haunted house, this house we've never seen before, but ostensibly is always there, to retrieve the airplane, which just crashed on the roof. He gets up there pretty well, and then while dancing on the edge of the roof, falls off and destroys a gargoyle. Doesn't get hurt, honestly. He falls, like, what, two stories at least?
Yeah, kids are like that. They whip things out, man. They're a little ball of essentially Kevlar. It's weird.
They bounce. Children bounce.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say, because I'm dumb. Hey, I'm the first one to admit it.
So this is where after Bart has fallen, we meet Belle, who we find out is the owner of the house. We don't really know anything about her at this point. She dresses very proper, and I don't know, like I would describe it as like steampunky almost.
Well, I would describe it as like Old West madam. Like,
I guess that's true. Yeah,
dress.
Yeah, Victorian.
Kind of Victorian era.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a little bit of goth in there. That it's not like just she wears. It's purple. It's like dark purple and black. It's supposed to be foreboding. You know, Bart thinks she's a witch. So I think it definitely sells that impression, but also works as well as like that Western madam thing. But Belle is upset that Bart destroyed her gargoyle. I mean, I would be if someone destroyed
my gargoyle. Obviously, those are probably really expensive.
Yeah, if someone destroyed my gargoyle, I'd be upset. So she takes him back home to doctor his dad.
Hello?
Your son was trespassing on my property and destroyed a very valuable stone gargoyle. And are you wearing a grocery bag?
I have misplaced my pants.
I'm not going to press charges, but I assume you'll want to punish him.
Yeah, appreciate the suggestion, lady, but he hates that, and I gotta live with him.
You're the man, Homer.
Well, if you won't discipline him, I'll come back and speak with his mother.
No, wait. Madam, I run a house of discipline. The boy will be disciplined and disciplined severely. Good day. Oh, I don't know how to punish you. What does Marge usually do?
She makes me taste beer.
Come on, boy. Give your old man a little credit. Yeah, well, I still get to punish you.
The noise was garbage falling out of Homer's bag pants.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why it took her so long to figure out that he was wearing a grocery bag. A person shows up wearing a grocery bag, you notice that. That's the first thing you notice.
Some people aren't very observant in that, and maybe she's meeting a new person for the first time. She doesn't take that long to notice. It's pretty quick,
I suppose. Plus, she's probably like practicing her speech in her brain on the way over, and she's like, "Oh, okay, wait a minute, I have to stop and ask about the grocery bag."
Yeah, she's trying to talk to a stranger about his son. So you know, there's some weird social awkwardness going on there, including now that Homer's wearing bag pants. But Homer's punishment is, he says this later on, and I think this is pretty accurate. It is what Marge would do, right? Like,
that's true. If she did not realize that it was a burlesque house.
Well, no one knows, aside from everyone in town.
Apparently.
But Homer takes Bart back, drops him off at Belle's place, which we don't know until this very moment is a burlesque house. And Bart has been misinformed about what witches are.
Come on in, Bart.
I can't believe I gotta spend all my free time dusting doilies in a smelly rundown dump for a creepy old witch. Lady, I gotta tell you,
I have been grossly misinformed about witches.
I think we've all been misinformed about witches.
Yeah, I was like, if that's... I think that maybe not misinformed about witches, maybe misinformed. I feel like this episode is pretty honest about small towns. I feel like every small town has stuff like this in it. Like a quote-unquote seedy underbelly, even though burlesque houses are honestly pretty tame. You know, they have things that, you know, nice and proper people may pretend or not know about, but most of the population's like, yeah, oh yeah, that the old whatever house, yeah, that's, it's, you know, that's a drug dealer lives there, you know, or that's a burlesque house, or well, that's a swingers club, or et cetera. Like, I feel like those things are very common in small towns. I feel like this episode does a pretty good job of kind of showing that Springfield is kind of like a dirty place. I mean, there's plenty of like nefarious stuff going on, and it's not,
I mean, fun stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm not, there's no shame. But obviously Springfield is just like, you know, it's not wholesome America. Like, as it, cause that place doesn't really exist. Like, I think that, and we kind of get to that, by the end of the episode, but, that is where we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we, as we left off, Bart is at his first time inside the burlesque house, and he's given the tour by Belle.
Wow, man, what is this place?
I prefer not to be called man. My name is Belle, and this is the Maison Derrière. That means the back house.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop. We're a burlesque house. A private club where gentlemen can play some cards and see a show.
Miss Belle, we're about to do our Around the World number, but Monte Carlo can't find her dice.
Here you go, darling. Normally, we don't allow children in here, but your father was so insistent.
He's tough, but there. I'll start sorting these bras.
That's a bit advanced for you, but I know a stopped-up sink that needs some attention.
Just glad to be on the team.
So, yes, at this point, Bart is extremely excited about working for a burlesque house, which as a 10-year-old seemed a little ambitious. I suppose he might have gone through puberty, mentioned those kind of things, but you never know. Of course, sorting the bras is too advanced for Bart, so he gets put by the door. He's essentially going to be taking the cover, which I don't think he's allowed to handle money as a 10-year-old, but sure, at Springfield, why not?
He's just the doorman, like me.
Okay, well,
I'm a doorman.
Yes. Moving on, the first person to walk through the door.
Hey, that's a funny joke. Thank you. You should acknowledge my funny joke. Thank you.
Yes, it's a funny joke.
Thank you.
Once again.
I do.
You're killing me. The first person to walk through his door turns out to be Grandpa.
Is your name Bart?
Mm-hmm.
What the... Does your father know you're working here?
It was his idea.
In that case, I'll have a whiskey sour.
I love that Grandpa, one, is confused about whether... is that really my grandson? Oh, it's okay. Well, then I'll have a whiskey sour and enjoy the show.
I don't know. Grandpa is the kind of person that would be... Like, they show most of the men in town end up at the burlesque house, it seems. And...
But I mean, come on, the burlesque house isn't that bad. If they had gone to the bordello, like Abe and Jasper talk about,
I know, that's
a little something else.
It's a little different. But, you know, burlesque house is completely up and up. There's nothing illegal happening. And I don't know. It is a peek at these characters that we haven't seen, really, at this point. You know, like, it is like, hey, like, this place exists. These people are going. And they're not, you know, it's just that it's not, like, weird to them. It's not strange. This is what they do. It just it gives a little flavor to Springfield. It puts
indeed, because I guarantee you, if burlesque house were more common,
puts the spring in Springfield.
Oh God, no, not yet. You didn't earn that yet. We have to wait for that. Anyway, we then cut to Marge and Lisa, who are scrubbing rocks because all of the animals were saved for celebrities, don't forget. And it's sort of unfulfilling because as soon as the tide comes back in, the rocks are immediately re-oiled. But, you know, when they get to slack off at the end of the day, they get to huddle under a tent and watch Johnny Arbuckle. Arbuckle? Is that how you?
I don't. What was his name? He's an Eskimo comedian. I doubt his last name is Arbuckle, but I don't know what exactly it is. But
I have excised that name from memory and eat kelp burgers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like comedian, whatever. Kelp burgers. Oh.
Yeah, Lisa might be into that, but I'm sure no one else would be. But at this point, it's too much for Marginal Lisa.
There's good vegetarian food, guys. You don't have to eat kelp.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't have meat in it, and you don't have to try and make vegetarian stuff into a meat-like paste. Just don't eat things that involve meat or even look like meat or anything of that.
Faux burgers.
There are good ones of those, but you know, if you're gonna make vegetarian jokes, just make it so that there aren't any meat dishes involved at all, even fake ones.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that kind of hippie stereotype is a stereotype because there's a lot of people like that.
That's probably true. But in this case, Marge and Lisa get the hell out of Dodge. They leave so fast that the station wagon kind of spins out. Meanwhile, at home, Bart goes on as the MC because Mel Zetz, who is apparently a famous in Springfield comedian, got out of bed too fast and broke his hip. Luckily, Bart does pretty well as the MC. The jokes are in the breast pocket, and they're pretty standard one-liner fare. And the crowd, of course, is a bunch of drunk guys waiting for women to go on stage and get selectively undressed. So they're willing to laugh at pretty much anything. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, it's really just... You know, they're drinking, so a kid in a little suit telling, you know, raunchy one-liners is all they need.
With a bow tie that spins.
Yeah, his bow tie does spin. I mean, that is pretty good.
I gotta make one of those. Anyway.
Oh, good.
We see Homer back at home, who the TV says, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are? And a parody of, was that an 80s thing or a 90s thing?
I don't know.
I don't remember it ever being on TV, so it was probably an 80s thing. But Homer says that he told the TV already once he doesn't know. And Bart's dinner is getting cold and eaten, which they're having dinner at 10 p.m., which,
I mean, they
sure, it's Bart and Homer. That's not surprising.
They had dinner at 10 p.m. They said that earlier in the episode. Literally, they eat dinner at 10. So maybe that might be Homer's second dinner, you know, or maybe he drinks like a six-pack of beer when he gets home. That's his first dinner, and then he has actual dinner later.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
At this point, however, Homer gets curious and goes to track down Bart and finds him at the burlesque house, where for the first time he realizes what's going on.
I'm sorry. This is all my fault. Bart was filling in
I don't care if he was filling in for Mel Zetz. He's my son, and I don't want him working so late that...
Oh, I agree. Kids need rules and boundaries.
Yes, everyone loves rules.
It's so tough to be a parent these days. What with all the gangs and the drugs.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Hey, you didn't pay the cover.
Oh, Bart, he's your father. We'll comp him tonight. Start a tab tomorrow.
And that's how you treat family in the entertainment business. I would also like to point out that it is Princess Cashmere on the stage, who Homer has a pre-existing relationship with.
Calling that a relationship is a little bit of a stretch.
To be fair, he tracked her down through every burlesque house type establishment in Springfield, of which there are many.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like those are in gaudy neon. Right? Like, and those are different. They have a different set of rules than I feel like this place, which is unmarked. I feel like this is because it is unassuming and apparently in like a residential neighborhood. I feel like it has, you know, I think that it operates differently, like socially, at least.
Oh, I would definitely agree. But at that point, Homer goes in, he sits down. We assume he gets a drink because he doesn't seem to leave very quickly. But at this point, we move on to the next important Springfieldy night to entertain himself at the club.
Oh, I hope I didn't miss the floor show.
Nope.
Is Roxanne back?
Yep.
Did she... get my flowers?
She did.
Hello, Bart.
Hello, Principal Skinner.
This is the National Air and Space Museum, isn't it?
And no, it is not.
I absolutely love this little interaction. I think it's really great.
Oh, yeah, that's the kind of guy Skinner would be. He's too scared to go out with actual women, so he idolizes dancers from afar. That's totally a Skinner I could see.
He's fine. I think it's not that he doesn't. I mean, we've seen him go out on dates. We've seen him We see him at, we see him go. I think there's just slim pickings in Springfield, single, like, especially of women his age. I think you're, I think we see that throughout, like, every time what a single man of, you know, probably early to mid 40s is out there on the market, there's just not that many women out there. And I think Skinner does end up dating most of them that we know. And
yeah, that's true.
It's, you know, he's probably just lonely. He is lonely. We've seen it. He is a lonely guy. And I think this is just like, hey, even this kind of empty relation, like this, a very consumer.
One-sided.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think it is, that is, we don't see his relationship with this dancer. So maybe she, like, appreciates him for what he is. You know, he's probably a very polite customer. And she probably is fine with that. But I think it suits Skinner right. And the voice acting in that little scene of Skinner like, oh, hello, Bart. And Bart's like, hey, how's it going? It's a very subtle kind of intonation. And it really tells you everything you need to know about them seeing each other in this place.
That's true. It's very obvious. Skinner feels he has been caught in something, and Bart feels like he has caught Skinner in something. So
And I think this also illustrates our, you know, we mentioned him, you know, Homer in Homer's Night Out had to hunt down Princess Cashmere and all the, you know, foxy boxing and mud wrestling places. You can't go to those in Springfield. I feel like that this like kind of elucidates, you can't really go to those places and be a respectable person. Like, what are those two dudes in that meeting we see? Oh, what are their names? It's in the next act, but you know, I think those.
Oh, Eugene and Rusty.
Yeah, Eugene and Rusty. Those are the types of guys who will go to those places with the neon signs with no shame at all. But
yeah.
Principal Skinner can't do that. Principal Skinner can't be seen going into, you know, those places. But Principal Skinner can be walking around a residential neighborhood and walk into this, you know, big giant house.
Giant house.
Yeah. But you know, it's not as nearly overt. And I think it speaks to, you know, how we work socially and how, like, there's no difference between like this burlesque house and any of those places, and I would assume our downtown Springfield, but because it's quiet and it looks nice on the outside and no one talks about it, it's okay.
Indeed. So, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes for Principal Skinner, unfortunately. But at this point, we flash back to Homer, where the religious brigade has showed up to tell Homer that where Bart is working. And I believe it's Reverend Lovejoy, Helen Lovejoy, Ned Flanders, and Maud Flanders all show up with a cow to Principal Skinner in tow, who basically lies about why he was there.
Well, I mean, he was only there to get directions on how to get away. Like, that's all he was there for.
Of course, yes. He didn't say anything about knowing one of the dancers and seeing her flowers. He never said any of those things. But at this point,
I like the fact that he is completely invisible until he says something. He is literally hiding behind Lovejoy like he's a lamppost or something.
Yes. And of course, Homer is very quick to note that, hey, he knew all of this as a responsible parent. And at this point, they say, oh, Helen Lovejoy says, oh, but does Marge know? And they basically part, and Marge is there, and Homer is in big trouble. And that is when we go to commercial.
Yeah, Marge doesn't look too happy. I mean, it probably has something to do with the fact that she's been scrubbing rocks and has had to drive all that way, probably. I don't think she's probably in the best frame of mind. When we come back, this whole episode is actually like, there's not really a lot of jumps in time. It really is like a lot of, we're just jumping directly back into scenes. Like, it's not, act breaks are not used an excuse to like, hey, we need to jump a day or something. It is literally like right back into it. Marge is kind of she can't believe that there's a burlesque house in Springfield, which.
Come on, Marge, you've seen Springfield.
Yeah. I think that, again, I think that speaks to, like, I think it means, like, I didn't know that there was this burlesque house. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Marge, she doesn't leave the house a lot aside to go run errands and go to the grocery store and pick up kids, probably. So she wouldn't have no reason to know about it. Marge is very buttoned up. She is a pretty proper, like, housewife. But I think that's my only problem with this episode. I feel like Marge is a little bit too, like, this feels very much like Marge of like the second season or something.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like I don't know. I think at this point, like season 8, I feel like Marge is a little bit less uptight about stuff like this. A little bit
she's
more.
She's getting there. She's getting there.
I think she's a little bit more accepting about it. I think. Do you have any problem with it?
With what?
With Marge's opinion about the bird. Like, she's, like, of everyone in town, she's the most upset about it.
Honestly, I don't have any problem with it. I do feel it's a little excessive that she's, like, trying to run them out of town. Seriously, like, oh, no one in town wants this. That seems to be presumptuous for Marge, but I can believe it. I've seen people go crazy like that.
Yeah, it just makes me think of, like, obviously they need to have someone be, like, the head of the Moral Outrage Committee or whatever, and Marge is, like, it fits into the plot really well. I just, you know, it reminds me so much of, like, Itchy and Scratchy and Marge. Like, she's just, like, it's, you know, I feel like Marge is smarter. Maybe that's just my complaint. Like, it feels like it artificially dumps her down a little bit. Like, she's,
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just, like, think that Homer is actually, like, he is, when he tells them, I'm being a responsible parent, like, I don't
know. He believes that.
Yeah, I mean, he is having Bart repay his debt by working at the burlesque house, even, like, I don't know, it's not, maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe not a 10-year-old. Maybe that is a little bit of a stretch. Or make him just do work in the kitchen or
like
something.
Like a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, sure. But yeah, that's a little.
I don't know. I'd be probably more likely to put, if I had a 10-year-old boy, put him there than a 16-year-old boy. Dear Lord, 16-year-old boy, that'd be. I don't trust that at all. I don't trust him.
Yeah, you're probably
I don't trust
right.
him at all. I put Bart in the kitchen, like have him wash dishes. I think that's a better, like, if he was doing that, I think there's literally no. Like, you know, he's just doing, you know, he's not being the head of the house or whatever he is, front of the house, that he taking money or working on stage.
Possibly where he could see the stage. Yeah, that's the worst part.
And also, Homer does basically blame Marge as soon as she finds out. He's like, this is all your fault, kind of, because
of course,
I did
what you would have. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's your fault. Marge claims that Springfield doesn't want a burlesque house and goes to talk to Belle to try and be nice about it, I guess.
Please come in, Mrs. Simpson. How can I be of service?
I have a favor to ask. Please shut this place down and move away from Springfield.
Oh, honey, you can't be serious.
Springfield doesn't want places like this.
I think I know what Springfield wants, sugar.
Oh? I've lived in this town for 37 years.
I've lived here 52 years.
I'm third generation.
Sixth.
Get out of my town!
Listen, darling, we're just as much a part of Springfield as the church, the library, or the crazy house. So I think I'll stay right here, neighbor.
Is that so? Well, sleazy entertainment and raunchy jokes will never be as popular as sobriety and self-denial. You're about to learn the two most dangerous words in the English language are Marge Simpson. It's a light pink 87 wagon.
Apparently there's a valet.
Yep, those are the most dangerous words.
I don't know. This also makes Marge seem very, like, it doesn't frame her. Like, she's clearly, like, a villain. Like, I can't really see her, especially in this conversation where Belle clearly is just like, no, I've been here much longer. My family's been in Springfield much longer. I see how many people come in here. I know exactly what Springfield wants. And Marge is just like, but. And also, apparently in this episode, Marge is 37 years old.
Well, yeah. She moved there at some point.
Well, she's not always 37. No, she's from Springfield, right?
I mean, I assume so, but I mean.
No, that's, they say that in Limit of Troy. Doesn't she say?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, she said, no, because she said in Limit of Troy, she's like, when my family had the choice of where to move, it was Springfield or
Stenchburg is what I believe.
Stenchburg, yeah.
Okay, so that means that Marge.
Now, she could
older.
Be talking before she was born.
That's true. That is also true. Her family could have moved there before she was born. Man, so many. That again, another thing that reminds me of Limit of Troy. But again, this scene kind of like just makes Marge is not really there. There's no like depth to this. It's very much like Marge just doesn't want a burlesque house in Springfield anywhere. Even though it has been established there are other places like this. I don't know. It makes a, like, I like what this episode is saying about, like, how Springfield and a lot of small towns work, and that they don't, like, so many people of the town, like, would be a, like, that you are, that spend money at a burlesque house. But then when it kind of comes to light, all the proper people are like, no, this is, even though it's been there for a very long time.
Yeah, and, like, almost everyone has been there.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's a thing that happens in small towns where, like, there's secrets that we don't talk about, but everyone knows. It's not very, it's not as sinister as that sounds, honestly, but
yeah,
there's a town meeting where, man, everyone is there, including what, Eugene and Rusty, who I don't think we ever see again.
I'm sure they're modeled after some of the writers or animators.
I think
or something.
John Swartzwelder is in that scene. I don't think he's either of those guys, but he is in that scene somewhere. We get them basically calling attention to the fact there's a burlesque house. But as you mentioned, Grandpa and Jasper are sitting in the back and talk about how, mention it, bordello that is somewhere that we still have not seen.
That's probably a good thing. I don't think we'll ever see a bordello in Springfield. That seems a little adult even for The Simpsons.
I don't know. I think at this point they could easily do a bordello episode. They just have to kind of be...
I think they'd be less likely now than they would have back in the late 90s.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, they've had, you know, they had weed episodes, or weed episode, at least.
That's true.
But that's, I guess, a little tamer than prostitution. Marge and the Lovejoys and Flanders are there, and Flanderses are there, and they, you know, they have a slideshow. Did they hire a private investigator or something?
Get those pictures? That or someone just sat out front for a while. I mean,
was Marge camping out front with a camera taking pictures?
Probably. That's what Marge would do.
That's probably. I mean,
they probably bought them from Mo or groundskeeper Willie.
Yes, that's true. We get. I like your note in this slideshow of perverts / normal people. Yeah, it's all the townspeople. Everyone is there, and they get. I do like the shot of Barney and coming out, and Mo has to feign outrage because he's
the only Barney.
He's the only one. And then the town is guilted into voting to demolish the burlesque house. Which one? I don't think you can just do that. Like a town can't just decide.
You generally have to like pass a law or something first, or use eminent domain to steal people's houses.
Yeah, I would say you have to go like, no, we're putting a highway through there, so. Yeah, we're gonna have to take the house from you. You know, it's a very spring. Again, this also makes me think of early Simpsons angry mobs. Just angry mob is of course not a crazy thing for the Simpsons, regardless of the era. But it is, you know, telltale head kind of like just angry mob going through the city destroying things, and to get to the burlesque house, they start rampaging. With crowbars and hammers and shovels, and Homer makes a plea through song for them to stop the destruction. I pulled the whole song because there's no sense in not pulling the whole thing.
You could close down Moe's or the Quickie Mart, and nobody would care. But the heart and soul of Springfield's Inn are Maison Derriere.
We're the sauce on your steak. We're the cheese in your cake. We put the spring in Springfield.
We're the lace on the nightgown.
The point after touchdown.
Yes, we put the spring in Springfield.
We're that little extra spice that makes existence extra nice. A giddy little thrill at a reasonable price.
Our only major quarrel's with your total lack of morals.
Our skimpy costumes ain't so bad.
They seem to entertain your dad.
The gin in your martini, the clams on your linguine. Yes, we keep the in Springfield.
We remember our first visit.
The service was exquisite.
Why, Joseph, I had no idea.
Come on now, you were working here.
Without it, we'd have had no fun since March of 1961.
To shut them down now would be twisted.
We just heard this place existed.
We're the highlights in your hairdo.
The extra arms on Vishnu.
So don't take the...
We won't take the...
Such a good song.
It really is. I mean, it's very well orchestrated. All the singing is fantastic. It's just great overall.
Super, super catchy. You know, ever since I watched it, it's been in my head. It is referencing Mean Street USA, which is a song Lucille Ball sang in The Lucy Show, which is a developer. Successful, basically a developer is trying to demolish a small town. So, you know, there's clear parallels there. And the town is convinced, especially the Moral Brigade, I guess, is convinced. You know, the plea of music works on them. Of course, Marge shows up late, and not having heard the song, she just is totally unconvinced still, even though the rest of the town is. She starts to sing a song about moral forbearance, which, you know, that's...
No, morals and ethics and carnal forbearance.
Carnal forbearance, excuse me. Which those are very fun things to sing songs about. Those are great song topics.
We all love those, doing those things.
You go to the club, that's all the music's about. The big bass drops, and then about carnal forbearance.
Oh yeah,
very exciting. But Marge accidentally hits a bulldozer. The catch on the break release on it, I suppose, and it takes part of the house down. I mean, it's not the whole house.
It's just part of it, you know. It's probably where one of the stages was.
You can at least replace that, and they're gonna, you know, Marge has to pay off her debt, just like Bart did, and she does it on stage with her ventriloquist dummy Woody.
So Twiggy, I hear you and your husband Woody just had a baby. What did you name him? Chip.
Take it off.
All right, Dad, you've been warned. Let's go.
Hey!
Come on!
I like the little music at the end.
Yeah.
It's
kind of ragtime.
Yeah. It's a continuation of the music. But that's how the episode ends. A little joke there with the Quinjogas dummies that we can never get the names right. Twiggy, Woody, and Chip. The family. The family of dummies. Uh-huh. That's how, there we go. That's it. That's the episode. You know, it ends with a little bit of a light note, with the whole family at the burlesque house.
Well, where else are you going to have good old fashioned family fun?
I know, exactly. I don't know. I like this episode. It's funny. It has a great musical number. I think it does, you know, demonize Marge a little bit just for the sake of the plot, but other than that, I like it a lot. I think it's a nice world.
I think this is a jerk Marge to jerk Homer.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I'm never upset as much about Jerk Marge, because I think that even Jerk Marge does have, like, at her heart, she has what she thinks are the best interests, the best interests of the town in mind. You know, I think she's not like doing out of meanness, which sometimes Jerk Homer does. It's just like she gets very single-minded and like very, like, I don't know, short-sighted about how the town works and all that. It's still good. Still very good episode. Very funny. A great song in it. Spring in Springfield is a great song. But we'll rank it at the end of the show. Couple submissions for this are my favorite episode. First from Sarah. Hi, Matt and Robbie. There's stage directions as well on this, so I'm trying to do the best. I recently discovered the Simpsons Show Pod, and I love hearing SMRT people talk smartly about the Simpsons. It's a beautiful day in my life today. I stumbled upon this wonderful little podcast. Keep up the amazing work, gentlemen. Favorite episode is Bart After Dark, and I don't really have a specific reason why, other than everything about it just brings some serious joy to my life. Love the relationship between Homer and Bart, and the relationship with Lisa and Marge. Episode is a true testament to the phrase, when the cat is away, the mice will play. So when Marge leaves Homer and Bart alone, they get into some amazing shenanigans, which sets them up for Bart working at La Maison Derrière. I also love this episode because Lisa's finally able to talk Marge into letting her help rescue some wildlife after the oil spill on Baby Seal Beach. Notices that the life of rescue worker is not all that it's cracked up to be, like when she wants to rescue otters, and she is immediately shut down by the beach worker who said all the animals have been reserved for the celebrities. Marge, while obviously upset about the whole situation, sticks it out for the love of her daughter, so she can get the life experience to set up for her future. Eventually, Lisa cracks and they both head home, which always gets me. Bart and Homer are just a totally different story. Homer definitely does what Marge would do in a Bart needs to be punished situation, sent to work off his debt to Belle, not knowing the environment he has been put into, leading to the great line, if Homer Simpson wants his 10-year-old son working in a burlesque house, then Homer Simpson's 10-year-old son is going to work in a burlesque house. Enter a Marge. Hi, honey. Look, you're going to hear a lot of crazy rumors about Bart working in a burlesque house. This is a perfect exchange that never fails to make me laugh. So many iconic moments in this episode. Skinner asking about Roxanne while handing his coat to Bart. This is the National Air and Space Museum, isn't it? Grandpa walking into the Maison whistling and immediately turning around after noticing Bart there. I can't forget We Put the Spring in Springfield. It's just a fantastic entry in the Simpsons songbook that will worm its way into your head and never leave. Even ended up getting an Emmy that year. The episode perfectly contrasts Marge's pure and nagging nature with the seedy underbelly of this town. Make this a hilarious episode that I will always recommend to people. Like I said, nothing really specific as the reason I love this episode, but whenever I'm feeling down, I put this episode on and just laugh. Hope you guys don't rank it too low.
I don't see it going very low.
No promise.
So don't worry.
No promises, Matt. We're beholden to only ourselves.
That's true, but if you try and rank it too low, I will fly to Canada and hurt you.
Oh, I know how to make you come then. Next is from Mark. Hi, Matt and Robbie. After a lot of thinking about the question of my favorite episode ever, I have to come to the conclusion that for me it is Bart After Dark, Season 8, mainly for the following reasons. Quote, Cat in the Furnace. You know, I think I'll take Maggie with us. If anything happens, just use your best. Just do what I do. There are rocks. Thousands and thousands of rocks. Homer and Bart doing garbage angels always cracks me up. Grandpa scene in the burlesque house is probably the funniest thing ever conceived at The Simpsons. Principal Skinner as well is brilliant. This is the National Space Museum, isn't it? Scene where everyone are exposed as customers. The burlesque house is funny. Hey, you did me twice. Yeah, poor Wiggum. Who is it? Is it an angry mom? Ma'am, could you step outside for a twinkle so we can knock down your house? Just a minute. Maison Derrière song is, apart from Seeing My Best, my favorite song of The Simpsons. I mean, they do put the spring in Springfield, and then Marge on her bulldozer. Just brilliant. Not only are these moments just so funny, as the first episode I remember clearly from watching it when I first aired. So it's even more nostalgia for me personally. Thank you. Thank you for your submission. If you have a submission for your favorite episode, simply submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. And I will read it when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news groups where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people were talking about a week or two after an episode debuted, what they thought of the episode, and if there's any miscellaneous stuff that comes up in a week or two that I think is interesting. It's mostly, you know, average to, like, B's, goods, not greats reviews, I think, is the consensus. Well, the people on there, I did want to pull, I pulled one of them because it's some monster that needs to be highlighted for how terrible they are. Well, actually, it seemed to be going well. Then, unfortunately, we get more musical mucilage. I despise this musical comedy that we see in Animaniacs all the time. I'm not making fun of Animaniacs. I just hate the songs. And to see this on the OFF, Our Official Family, altogether too many times. Also, the terrible Who Needs a Quickie Mart ruined the whole episode thing. Without the song, it's a B, but as it stands, D. What kind of monster would say something like this? That's what I'm
saying. Seriously, the songs are one of the best parts of these episodes.
I was going to, like, yeah, dude, if you're a Simpsons fan, it's kind of part and parcel to like the music. Like, the Simpsons have a clear, like, legacy of, like, music of these types that is, of musicals, old musicals. Of, like, that's what all these songs are, like, are part of. You know, the monorail song, Who Needs a Quickie Mart, Spring in Springfield, they all have a clear legacy, and it's part of The Simpsons, and why this era is so good. It's because I think there is a clear drop-off in a lot of musical quality after you get out of the classic years. I think that is a large part of what people, I don't know, they stop doing them as much, and I still like them. I think it is some, like, really, not even just, like, funny songs, they're, like, really good songwriting. Like, they're really catchy, and good pop music, honestly. I just wanted to highlight that there are monsters living among us, and we should all be careful. Also, an interesting fact about the promotional strategy. Fox's promotion strategy for this episode was more interesting than usual. Commercials that aired during primetime claimed that Springfield would be rocked by a sex scandal and shows Marge's incriminating pictures of people leaving the Maison Derrière. Promo that aired during Fox's Saturday morning lineup was less racy. Show the scene where Homer and Bart make garbage angels in the living room. A third promo, which aired on my local rock radio station, played up the sex angle again, quoted Homer, "I have misplaced my pants." Notice how much dirtier that sounds when it's used out of context. To my knowledge, this is the first time Fox has targeted Simpsons promotions to a particular advertising venue. I don't know if that's the first time, but I know that, you know, it's not crazy they would do that, because, I mean, that's one of the things about The Simpsons is that it can appeal to a lot of different people. You know, I watched it as a kid and half the jokes went straight over my head that I clearly understand now and sometimes don't even get when I was a young adult and I was an older person. I'm 31.
You're ancient, Robbie. Get used to it.
I'm so old. I get now than I didn't when I was 20 or 10. You know, as I get older, the jokes change as I change. But I thought that was interesting, a look on those old commercials. We didn't know. Maison Derrière is not actually that dirty when translated, apparently. That's also mentioned in the news group. Someone, you know, I think a French speaker, it's actually, you know, it's just, you know, the butt house. It's not that bad. It's not as dirty as it could be.
It could be worse. I mean, I believe Derrière, I don't know what the exact French translation is, but it might be something a little more risque than that.
I know that they specify it's basically just the butt house.
Oh, okay.
It's not that dirty. And if it's not dirty in 1996, then it's probably not dirty in 2017.
No.
We can't move on. Our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite quote from a guest star? So many guest stars to pick from. Appreciate everyone who answered. Takes the time. I can't read them all, but I do read every single one when I'm putting together our lists. First from Elliot, Bob Newhart, everybody. Although I started my career several years before Krusty, so, you know, I could never learn anything directly from him. Still, I think in a way, in a very meaningful way, that all of us have learned from him. And, you know, that is being on television for so many years, even though many of us, we didn't watch his show. Thank you. It really is good. I love Bob Newhart.
It really is. Oh, man.
Captain Marvelous. I use this line all the time when somebody asks me how I've been after a long answer. I say, oh, and once I saw a blimp. Rodney Dangerfield. Gaspar. Bret Hart's, why would I want a picture of a pitiful pencil neck geek? Because it's a Bret Hart. It's like he's cutting a promo on Burns. P.S. It was all work. Come on. Someone's going to reference wrestling. I gotta include it.
Well, it's true.
Come on. We need more wrestlers on The Simpsons. That's what I'm saying. Sean, Elvis Costello, when he unsuccessfully tries to convince Homer and the rest of the guys to become bass players. But there's a lot of other fun instruments, like bass. from Izzy, Buzz Aldrin. So, Barney, we hear you're kicking ass. I don't think the contest is over yet, Buzz, if that is your real name. I believe there's still something called the swimsuit competition. There's no swimsuit competition, Homer. You mean I shaved my bikini zone for nothing? Buzz Aldrin. John, Mr. Orman, a.k.a. Jack Lemmon, on the Pretzel Wagon video. Hello, I'm Frank Orman. If you're watching me, that means you've got pretzel fever, and not the kind of attack my intestinal lining some years back. So let's get your franchise up and running. David, very well, I shall send you to heaven before I send you to hell. Sasha Bob. He also includes, side note, Matt, you should make Robbie sing the entire score of the HMS Pinafore, Send Us to Hell Before Sending Us to Heaven. I object. Matt hasn't won yet, all right? Just because he's won every single time so far doesn't mean he's going to win this time. And two, those are multiple songs. You have to pick a song. I would sing a single song. I would sing a single song from HMS Pinafore.
I've already picked out the song.
Oh, okay. It's already settled. Well, I already have yours too, so good. Good to know. We're prepared. From Elaine, Robert Goulet. Vera said that? Terrific reading from Robert Goulet. From Elliot, can I just go with the noise that Kelsey Grammer makes when he steps on the rakes? Yeah. Zach, Buzz Aldrin's, careful, they're ruffled. Always gets me. JD, Hank Scorpio, Homer, on your way out, if you want to kill somebody, it would help me a lot. From Dave at Dave Kula, in fact, I didn't even give you my coat. Also, Hank Scorpio. Will at Willsport MN. From Mark Hamill, Homer, use the forks. From Nerdlinger at Kind of a Writer, it was just vapor lock. From Matthew at Matt R. Jacobson, Dodd Mattingly's, fine. I still like him better than Steinbrenner. From Midnight Philly at Midnight on a Third Day, Carl from Simpson and Delilah, because my mother told me never to kiss a fool. Such a good and powerful character in episode. Dan at Smokin' Dan, Leonard Nimoy's, A Solar Eclipse, The Cosmic Ballet Goes On. Does anyone else want to switch seats? From Kyle.
Wait, was it the Leonard Nimoy or was it the random guy next to him?
I think it's the Leonard Nimoy, but the random guy does add a lot to that. From Kyle. Hi, guys. For this, I always remember James Wood in Homer and a Pooh when he's cleaning the microwave. Tony, you're my agent. You have to do something about this. How can it be the same movie if they changed my character from a convenience store clerk to a jittery Eskimo firefighter? Well, actually, that's a pretty good explanation. Now, this is gross, right? This will be gross points in this new... Oh, okay, yeah, because there's a monkey. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, good. Book me a flight, rent me an igloo, tell these dorks at the Quickie Mart that, boom, I am out of here, I'm a dot, I'm gone, okay? What do you mean I gotta give 2 weeks notice? Why, you freaking no good mother... Cheese, no, not you. I'm just talking to my... I'm just talking to my oven. From John, from Ringo Starr. Should I try and do Ringo Starr, Matt?
If you don't, I will.
Dear Marge, thanks for the fab painting. I hung it on the wall. You're quite an artist. Yes, we do have hamburgers and fries in England, but we call French fries chips. Love, Ringo. P.S. Forgive the lateness of my reply.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. Liverpool accent, it's not super bad. It's not super hard to do. I think everyone has their own Beatles accent. I mean, that was also my Paul McCartney. And my John Lennon and my George Harrison.
Well, they all do sound kind of
That's my go-to. Like, hey, I'm doing a Beatles. What is your answer, Matt?
I very nearly picked Buzz Aldrin as well. So thank you, Izzy. However, I actually have to go with Mr. Bergstrom from Lisa's Substitute. That's the problem with being middle class. Anybody who really cares will abandon you for those who need it more.
Yeah, that's my answer too, Matt.
God, seriously?
Yeah, I thought about it. I really thought about it. And, like, I think Mr. Bergstrom is, like, an amazing character that we still have yet to see more than one time. And
yeah.
I think that's his best one-liner. Like, you could pick any, like, he has a lot of very, like, meaningful emotional things he says to Lisa as well. But that's kind of a nice mix of, like, emotional and, like, a punchline. There's, like, a little bit of a gag in there. That's also my answer. I'd pick you could go to Bob. I would go to attempted murder. That'd probably be a good second choice.
Oh, and the you need a cold hearted Republican to rule lower you with, taxes, brutalize criminals, and rule you like a king.
Yes, that's also very good. Next week's question: what do you think is the dirtiest Simpsons joke?
Ooh.
I hit with a moment of inspiration. I thought of that. There's a lot of them are very subtle and are not explicit. And I think those are some of my favorites. And I have a couple in mind, but I don't know how I'm going to be able to explain how dirty they get and keep our PG rating with the podcast ratings board.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But I'm still interested in seeing them. We can move on. Wait, no, we can't because. I will post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Now, on to our next segment, it's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. Whoever... As previously mentioned, whoever loses has to sing a song, record themselves singing a song from The Simpsons of the winner's choice. I think I may change my mind about the song I pick after I win, after I win, because it's going to happen. Yeah. I may be down 8 points already, but who knows? Maybe I'll have a drastic comeback. Maybe.
Or I can see it happen.
Or I could lose by 20. That'd be great. Or 30. Excellent. Guess I could get the song done ahead of time. Matt, what's my easy question?
All right, sir. Your easy question today. What is the name of the lobster Homer buys to fatten up in Lisa Gets an A?
That's my easy question. I see.
Yeah. The most famous lobster in all of Simpsons history? The one they made a character after in World of Warcraft?
Again, well, okay, one. I've never played World of Warcraft. Just want to make
sure. Sad.
Really? That's sad? You mean Endless Fletch Quest is sad that haven't spent thousands of hours doing that?
Yes, it is.
No, I don't. I prefer my games with character and story. Or
it shows you no World of Warcraft at all.
I'm sure, so offending all those people. Literally, Matt, the only video game I know that has a website about addicts who are angry at the time they spent playing the video game. All right? That's all I have to know about that game.
I'm sure there are lots of people with free-to-play games. I'm sure there's a tapped-out version of that website.
Well, I know free-to-play is even worse. Like, there's tons of people like that.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, I remember the episode. I remember the lobster. I don't remember his name.
Really? Wow.
Matt, just
you,
not everyone.
You give up?
Not everyone has a concrete vault of a brain like you do. No, I'm gonna guess a name. Come on, I can't. Like, what's the, like the worst thing I could do is just guess and get it right. Maybe I can. Maybe I can work it out. Think about the episode. Think about Homer. Like, he fattens up the lobster, and then he ends up accidentally cooking it in a bathtub when he gives it a bath. I remember that, and he cries as he eats it, but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, at least it's just an easy question. Sorry, I honestly thought this would be easier.
I'm sure people are yelling at their phones. What's a good name for Pinchy?
You are correct.
What?
Yeah, that's it. You don't remember Mr. Pinchy?
I totally guessed. That's right.
All
right. I don't believe it. That's an actual. I just went like, what's a part? That's like a child naming a lobster.
Because Homer named him.
Okay, I guess that's true. I just went like, okay, what's the thing that lobsters have? They have pinchers. Well, okay. Well, can I? Why can't I get the crazy guesses right for my hard questions? That's what I would really want to know.
Because they're harder than that.
I got a crazy guess for 1 point. That's garbage. Okay, your easy question. All these questions are from Bart the Genius, Matt.
Oh, God.
The second episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, why do you hate me so much?
Oh, come on. You've seen Bart the Genius probably 1,000 times.
Like 3, maybe.
You've seen more than that. Just if you watch it in syndication, it comes on more than that. Bart, the family plays Scrabble, and Bart creates what word when playing?
Quijibo. That is balding North American ape.
You still get one. You don't get extra points for that. So that is correct, though. It is Quijibo. What's my medium question? Maybe I'll just blindly guess this one right too.
In Lisa Gets an A, what book does Lisa ignore to play video games while she is homesick?
Wind in the Willows.
There you go. See,
I knew that. Well, I knew it's Wind in the Willows.
Yeah.
I guess I am the type of nerd who remembers things about Wind in the Willows. I like Wind in the Willows. Your medium question, what is the name of the private school Bart attends?
Oh, it's a word salad of stupid crap. It's like the Enriched Learning Center for Gifted Children or something like that.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
You're correct.
Oh, okay. They stuck in that order for a reason, apparently.
What's my hard question?
Your hard question, which I think you have a good chance of getting. Who impersonates the comptroller during Lisa's fake speech at the end of Lisa Gets an A?
Oh.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get it right away. Then I would have felt stupid. At least I'm making you think about it a little bit.
I can remember. I remember the scene. I remember that. Like I said, I remember the episode. I like it a lot, actually. I like that episode. It's a comptroller is there. Man, I forget who else is there. I know I want to say it's Chalmers under there or something, or Skinner himself. Then I forget if they're actually already present. Like, if they're there, of course it's not them, but I can't remember. But they would be there if Lisa's giving a speech to the school. I'll say it's Chalmers. Is it Chalmers?
I'm sorry. It is actually Otto. Because Chalmers and Skinner, you're right. They are there for the speech.
Man.
And it's Otto under there. And then Skinner almost gives it away by saying, how about a hand for the real comptroller?
Right. Okay. Now I feel like this question, your hard question is too easy, but we'll see.
Uh-oh.
What is Bart's IQ as found by his fraudulent test?
216.
I hate you, Matt.
Or 912 if you're Homer and read it upside down.
I hate you so much. I don't like you.
I know.
I don't like you. I think I've decided officially that I don't like you. I think I can finally state with a full 100% confirmation, certainty, I don't like you. You're not a good person. In fact, we're enemies now. We're nemesis. Listen, you're officially okay. My nemesis. I've declared it.
That's fine. We can have an adversarial relationship instead of a friendly competition.
I mean, that's what we've been having?
Sure.
Matt is now beating me by 11 points. We're literally 5 episodes into the season. I'm losing in double digits already. This is very bad. I'm kind of I'm regretting my decision to not change the scoring rules. Maybe we can do that. If we're halfway through the season, I'm down by 30 points. We're probably going to have to change the rules to make it. We got to have drama, Matt. That's obviously very important, right?
Well, of course.
Of course. We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do you put this one? Where does it go?
I gotta say, I really like this episode. Okay, so I'm gonna say.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
No. We'll go.
I'm gonna say top 20 at least.
Whoa, top 20.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking around 20, and I'm seeing Lemon of Troy, the Vegetarian, Two Bad Neighbors. I think these beats at least those.
You think it's better than Lemon of Troy?
I do. I do. I really do. This is a really fun episode. It's got Jerk Marge, which is an occasional treat rather than Jerk Homer, who is all too present in the early episodes. And it's just, it's fun and silly. And it's got, you know, the characters kind of being themselves. Lisa gets to be herself. Marge gets to be the overbearing mother. Homer gets to be dumb, and Bart gets to be the mischievous kid who makes mistakes, but has his heart in the right place.
Hmm. I don't think I'd put it that high.
Whoa, where are you thinking?
Probably, I don't know. I don't think it's better. Like, Mr. Plow is 33. I don't think it's better than Mr. Plow.
Really? You don't think it's better than Mr. Plow?
No, I don't.
Wow. We're going to do some averaging here. I solidly agree that it's better than Mr. Plow. Believe, not agree, sorry.
You agree with me? All right. It's not as good as Mr. Plow. Then we can put it below.
No, this is better than Mr. Plow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the song alone propels it above Mr. Plow.
I don't know about the song alone. That's why I looked at Mr. Plow, because I like Mr. Plow's music more.
Really? The Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow?
Hey, there's also Linda Ronstadt.
Señor Plow, no es macho, es solamente un borracho.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
I like Mr. Plow. Okay, it's a good episode. I feel like, again, I don't really like the Marge characterization too much. I feel like she's just like an antagonist for antagonist's sake. Like, I don't think there's, at this point, I feel like Marge is better than this. Like, I feel like she needed more reason to just to despise the burlesque house.
I don't know. I think it's fairly close to in Marge's character to despise anything that she sees as morally reprehensible, because, you know, Marge's moral sense is really what defines her. Anything outside of that needs to be, I don't know if I would say destroyed, but at least mitigated as much as possible.
But she literally says, she goes to this lady and tells her to leave.
I can see Marge doing that. I mean, I feel like her language was a bit direct, but,
you know. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like she becomes kind of a little mustache twirly in this. It becomes a little too much of it happens in other episodes. I don't really like it when it happens in other episodes either. It doesn't bother me as much as Jerk Homer, but, I really don't like empty moralizing. I think it's, you know, especially when it's situations like this. You really think this is better than Lemon of Troy? You're the Mr. Lemon of Troy lover, and you think this is better than Lemon of Troy?
I think this is...
better than Mother Simpson.
Barely edging out.
It's better than Mother Simpson.
Yes.
What? Jeez. Okay, tell me where you put it then, Matt. Tell me exactly where you put it on the list.
I would probably put it at... probably right at number 20. I think it's better than Two Bad Neighbors, not quite as good as 22 Short Films About Springfield. I just think it's funny. It's got every character being themselves. It's got the rest of Springfield being its anarchic, crazy, small-town self. It involves, you know, basically people learning a lesson about what really matters to them.
I don't know. I feel like that is – it's – in one hand, I really love the logic of, like, all it takes is a musical number and Springfield is convinced, because that's all it ever takes. Like – monorail song is all it took for them to get a monorail, and it's the same thing. Like, it's just, hey, look, musical numbers work on convincing people. But on the other hand, it really doesn't, you know, it doesn't do anything other than that. You know, the monorail song's early in the episode. It's not used as the end. How about if we do 25?
I could say that. I could definitely do that, because, like I said, I really do love Lemon and Troy, Maggie Makes Three, Mother Simpson. Those are all really great episodes, and I can agree on 25.
Okay. So if I had my druthers, it'd be in the 30s somewhere.
Yeah.
And nothing against this episode. I think it's very good, but there's a lot of... Simpsons have a lot of very good.
Yeah.
And I can't... Oh, come on. You're telling me that the Spring in Springfield is better than the ending of Mother Simpson the Simpsons...
See, it's an artifact of, you know, the way we've done this, because I feel like Two Bad Neighbors probably isn't necessarily better than Mother Simpson, but... You know,
I like,
just the way things fell.
I like Two Bad Neighbors more than Mother Simpson.
I mean, it's a good episode, but it's not a great episode.
It's hilarious. It's one of the funniest episodes. If I just had to pick funny, I would put Two Bad Neighbors in my top five.
Wow, okay.
Just it hits my funny bone.
All right, fair enough.
So 25 is Bart After Dark, right below Mother Simpson, right above Last Exit to Springfield. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. Last place is Homer's Odyssey, 148. Our next episode, Matt, is A Milhouse Divided.
Oh boy, dignity comes a-knocking.
Can I borrow a feeling?
Well, if you can find Kurt's tape, you sure can.
Apparently the still top top post ever on the subreddit for album art is the Can I Borrow a Feeling album art.
Well, I would hope so.
I think that's hilarious. Milhouse Divided is a crazily weird episode. Like, even in the context of The Simpsons over 30 years, it is a very strange thing where the focus is on Kirk and Luann Van Houten. Like, we barely have seen them until this. Like, how many episodes they've been in total? And then they're going to be, like, the stars of this episode, basically.
Yeah.
It's really weird. But we'll talk about it next week. I'm excited. I mean, it's a great episode. I think it's a very strange one. Let's see. You can find this list on our website. Simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there. Every episode downloadable and streaming. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. Link to our Patreon if you want to help support the show, help keep it going. We'd obviously appreciate that. Yeah, I think that'll do it for this week. You can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, The Handsome Boys Comics Hour and the Serial. I'm forgetting my own podcast, Matt. The Serial Fanaticist. It's about everything. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're some level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have determined that this weekend is the night I move to my home among the stars, so we will be out stargazing. So if you would like to write a message using the stars, if you happen to have a badass gravity pump, that would be the best way to get a message to me this weekend.
Your home?
Pardon?
What home?
My home among the stars, yeah.
That explains...
In space, where I belong.
That explains a lot about you, Matt.
Uh-huh.
You were just exchanging long protein strings.
That's all I ever do.
If you can think of a more efficient way, I'd love to hear it.
I'd like to hear it.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.